Good morning, church. Again, adding to Pastor Ross's welcome, a very special welcome to all of you, and especially for those that are visiting here for the first time, I extend a really special warm welcome to you on behalf of my church family here at FBC. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Pramita. Thank you again, Pastor Ross, for the opportunity, but also for trusting me to do this. And many, as always, thank you for your encouragement and your support. And also thank you for those of you that have been praying for me leading up to today. We are in our series of Ready, journeying through Paul's letters to the Thessalonians. And our scripture today is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. We'll come to that in a little while. A model for missions. Before we get into our message, let us pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts to your word today. Quiet our minds from any distractions and help us to hear you, Lord, to hear what you are saying to us. As your word reminds us, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. May your word take root in us, strengthen our faith, deepen our love and renew our hope, so that we may not only hear your truth, but live it faithfully for your glory. Amen. When Pastor Ross asked me if I would preach one Sunday in this series, my first reaction was to say no, especially when I saw my name next to the title, A Model for Missions. I thought that I knew very little on this topic. But as I prayed, I strongly felt that if my knowledge in this topic was not good, then this is where I would learn and grow the most from. And so as I've been preparing for my message today, I've spent a lot of time reading and reflecting on Paul's life, particularly in the letters to the Thessalonians. When Pastor Ross introduced this series 4 weeks ago, he talked about Paul's pastoral heart. And here in these 12 verses that we are about to read, we can actually hear Paul's heartbeat for the Thessalonians. It would be hard to find a better model for ministry than Paul's. And it is my pleasure today to bring this message to you all with God's help. So if you have your Bibles, or the reading is on the screen as well, let us read together 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 to 12, Paul's ministry in Thessalonica. You know, brothers and sisters, please join me in reading if you can. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you this gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have asserted our authority. Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, We were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. May God bless the reading of his holy word. These verses give us not just an insight into Paul's heart, they provide an excellent model for us to follow. But before we get to the application, we need to recall the historical background of these 12 verses, because there's a bit of a shift from chapter 1. In chapter 1 of Thessalonians, as we heard last week, Paul celebrates a beautiful picture of the gospel at work, a church marked by faith, love, and hope, a people transformed not simply with words, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, and whose witness is sounding far beyond their own city. But almost immediately, as we move to chapter 2, the tone shifts. Paul pauses, not to change the message, but to defend the messenger. Why? Why does Paul do that? Because if you think back, accusations had been raised against Paul. Remember, they had to hurry out in the middle of the night. And Paul knew that if his character was discredited, then the credibility of the gospel itself could be undermined. So before he continues, he carefully lays bare his heart, his motives, his conduct, because the integrity of the messenger matters when the truth of the gospel is at stake. And so here in chapter 2, Paul writes in a personal manner. But I want you to know it wasn't really a personal issue for Paul. Paul writes this not because he is concerned about himself personally, but he knows that if he is discredited, then the gospel itself would be discredited. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was almost without results. And with that very simple opening, Paul begins to remind them not just of what he told them, but how he lived among them. Paul shows us that mission is not spoken, it is lived. But before we talk about the model, I want us to go back briefly to chapter 1 again, because Paul has shown us the foundation of this model there. In verse 3, Paul remembers their work produced by faith, labor prompted by love, and endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord." So Paul lived the gospel. Before the Thessalonians, they received it, and then they began to reflect it in their own lives. But it does not stop there. In verse 7 of chapter 1 again, Paul says, "They became a model to all and all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia." And by verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from them, and their faith in God became known everywhere. That's such a nice illustration of that behind me. So what began in Paul's life was copied by the Thessalonians and then carried beyond them to others. And that is what happens when the gospel comes not simply with words, but with the action and with the power of the Holy Spirit and deep conviction. Faith becomes visible, love becomes practical, and hope becomes contagious. And one life shaped by Christ begins to shape another until the message of Jesus rings far beyond where it first began. And so the model for missions, as I see it in 1 Thessalonians, is this ripple effect shaped by faith, love, and hope. These three words we will hear a lot through the letters to the Thessalonians. So the model for mission, faith. Faith shows us what mission requires, which is courage and integrity. Love shows us how mission is lived with tenderness and sacrifice. Hope shows us why mission matters, because eternity is at stake. So faith fuels the courage to go. Love shows how we go, and then faith defines why we even go. This brings us to our first point, faith. Faith gives mission its courage and integrity. In verses 1 to 6, Paul boldly proclaimed the gospel despite suffering and opposition, trusting God rather than seeking human approval. His ministry was rooted in faithfulness to God's call. And in verses 9 to 10, Paul reminds them his conduct was holy, righteous, and blameless, and this is what God is calling us to do. Living consistently as someone who belongs to God, both publicly and privately. Here we read again verses 1 to 6 and 9 to 10. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God who tests our hearts. You know, we never used flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ we could have asserted our authority. Surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We work night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. Here in these verses, we can see that Paul's life carried the weight of the message he was bringing. I think Pastor Ross said last week, his walk matched his talk. He was driven not by the need to please people, not gain recognition, or protect his own interest. His ministry flowed from devotion to God and a genuine love for people. And that is what faith does. Faith gives us the courage to speak the gospel truthfully, even when it costs us something, or maybe gently pressures us to seek people's approval. Paul did not water down the gospel at all or compromise its truth. More than anything, he wanted his life and his words to be pleasing to God. So, do we share the gospel faithfully? Or do we soften it because we fear it might upset someone? David Wilkerson, author of The Cross and Switchblade, some of you might have read this book, said it very powerfully. A watered-down gospel is no gospel at all. And this is where it becomes personal for us. God has placed us on a mission field right where we are, in our homes, our families, our friendships, in our workplaces, our schools, our community, our everyday places. So when we feel uncomfortable or uncertain about sharing the gospel, remember Paul's words from verse 2, "But with the help of our God." We do not go in our own strength. We go with the promise of Jesus in the Great Commission. Matthew 28:20, "I am with you always to the very end of age." And as faith gives us courage to go, love shapes the way we go. Love gives mission its tone and its posture. 1 Corinthians 13:13, a much-loved Bible verse, and now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Paul ministered with a deep tenderness like a nursing mother, sharing not only the gospel but his very life. He also cared like a father, encouraging and strengthening believers personally. Paul teaches us that mission is relational, it's sacrificial, and it is full of genuine love. Paul's mission was marked by genuine affection, not duty alone. So again in verse 7 and 8 and 11 and 12 we read, "Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom of glory and glory." Think of a nursing mother. That mother does not expect anything from the child. Paul uses one of the most unselfish relationships that there can be to describe just how much he loved these Thessalonians. The Christians, the new Christians in Thessalonica. Paul shared not just the gospel, but his life. I think we understand this better when we see it lived out in ordinary, everyday lives. Some of you will know Manny, my husband, works for Oranga Tamariki in the youth justice area. And for as long as I have known Manny, he has had a heart, a passion to work with young people, with youth particularly, and their families. I have seen him walk through some very complex situations with young people and with their families, often carrying stories that are heavy, that are very painful and difficult. And yet, he keeps showing up with patience, compassion, non-judgmental, and a desire to help them see that their lives still have value, that there is still a direction for them, and that there is still hope. To me, that is love in action. Not just a job, but stepping into people's brokenness and helping them to take the next step forward. That is genuine affection we see here in these verses today, not duty alone. And when opportunities come, Manny shares his faith in a way that is credible and lived, not forced. Love moves us to share not only the gospel, but our very lives. And so God calls us today to love intentionally for our family, our church, and our community that we live in. To love intentionally in our workplaces. This is where we spend most of our waking up time, our workplaces and our schools. Love all those who brings in our path every day. He calls us to invest in people and not just tasks. While preparing my message, I read a phrase, "The more you love people, the easier it is to lead them." True, I thought. But because I'd been preparing this message, the word witness had been at the forefront of my mind, so I replaced the word love, lead, with witness. So then it read, "The more you love people, the easier it is to witness to them." More challenging for me now, I thought. And this is where God has challenged my heart the most as I have prepared this message for today. Sometimes it's the hardest to share the gospel with those we love the most because we fear upsetting or maybe saying something that might offend someone. If that resonates with you today, I encourage you to keep praying, keep living faithfully, and ask God for the courage to share his gospel more freely. We play our part with love and faithfulness, and we trust God to do what only he can do, to soften hearts, open doors, and draw people to himself. And again, as Paul said, "But only with the help of my God." Love moves us to point others to Jesus because hope reminds us why it matters so much. Hope gives mission its goal and direction. Paul's aim was not simply conversion but transformation of lives, encouraging believers to live lives worthy of God. The old was gone, the new was here. God who calls them into his kingdom and glory. And in reading verse 8 again, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Mission is urgent because eternity is real. Mission is preparing people to stand ready for Christ, whether he comes today or whether we go to meet with him today. And again, you will hear this statement over and over as we journey through Thessalonians. During our church business meeting, if you were here, you will remember Pastor Ross said, and I couldn't agree more, more than ever, there is an urgency now for us to share the gospel. You remember saying that, Ross? And more than ever, I say, we need to be on our knees seeking God's courage to do this. Paul models a life before God now, knowing we will one day stand before him. Are we living ready with pure hearts, with faithful actions, loving relationships, and lives that reflect God? Because we will one day stand before Christ. So God calls us to live ready again in our everyday life, in our workplaces, our families, our communities. He calls us to live each day with eternity in view. Eternity can seem there, but we've got to live with it right as if it could happen today. Let hope shape the way you witness for Jesus. As I begin to draw my message to a close, I want to bring us back to that ripple effect that we saw at the beginning, one life changing a lot of other lives. As I prepared my message for today, starting at the point where I didn't think I knew very much about missions, God reminded me that this same ripple effect has shaped my very own life. And I know that many of you here will relate to that as well, or recognize that ripple effect in your own lives. I think about giving my life to Jesus when I was 16. And I think of one of the people God used to help shape my early Christian journey, my school principal, Miss Marjorie Winfred Hodge. Miss Hodge came to Fiji from Melbourne in 1953 as a Methodist missionary teacher. She served as principal of Jasper Williams High School for 32 years, influencing the lives and faith of many young girls, including mine, during those very important teenage years. What stands out for me now is that her mission was not distant or detached. She lived among us in the hostel with about 120 girls from different parts of Fiji, most of us coming from non-Christian backgrounds. She ate with us, led devotions and daily morning prayers, carried out hostel duties just like any other staff, and often walked with us to and from church on Sundays. She was not only overseeing a school or managing a hostel, she was helping disciple young lives like mine then. Her faith had integrity because what she taught, she also lived. Her love was practical because she shared not only her role, but her life with us. And her hope was evident because she cared deeply about our spiritual journey and our readiness to follow Jesus. I have very fond memories of her praying with me, encouraging me to lead devotion and prayer times and to teach Sunday school, even though I was a very new Christian then myself. Looking back, I can see that ripple effect. Miss Hodge bore witness to Jesus where God had placed her in her everyday job that she did. And that witness became a part of my story. Then God brought me here to New Zealand. And by His grace, I continue to serve Him here. So mission is not about a title, a place, or a program. It is about bearing witness to Jesus wherever God has placed us. Amen. This is the model for mission. One life, shaped by Christ, begins to shape another until the message of Jesus rings far beyond where it first started. Faith, love, and hope give shape to mission. Faith gives us the courage to stand firm with integrity. Love shapes how we serve and speak, how we share our lives every day, and hope keeps eternity right before us. Together, they call us to live ready for Christ and help others get ready too. So the question is not simply whether we admire Paul's model, but whether we will live it. Will our faith be courageous? Will our love be costly? Will our hope be visible in the way we live and witness for Jesus? Let us live ready for Christ. And more importantly, let us also help others get ready too.